In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Best and rest of what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of the women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your bottles of champagne.
Ringing in the new year in the world of comic books.
Yes, Chris. Yes, it's about time, Chris, somebody pulled the cork out of your
So, Walt, did you have a good holiday season there?
Yes, Chris, it's our first show of the year.
Yes.
We just come off of a nice holiday.
Yes, very excited.
I had a great holiday. You?
Oh, fantastic. Yes, thank
Santa,
you very much.
Was Santa,
Santa
good
was
to
good
you?
To me, yes. And was Santa good to you?
Santa was excellent. Santa always does way too
You got all those naughty things you asked for? I don't want to mention them over the radio, but you know.
Most.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. Excellent.
Listen. Plenty.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, no, it was a great holiday, but listen, I'm full of, Chris, I'm full of vim and vigor.
Oh.
Into the new year.
Is that what you're calling it these days? Vim.
Vigor.
Oh, okay, all right.
I
always thought you were full of something else, but you know. Vim and vinegar, sure, why not?
No, vigor.
Oh, vigor, sorry. Vigor.
I'm full of vigor.
Oh, right, okay, right. Yeah.
All right. Anyway. Okay, now I'm off track.
Sorry.
Okay. Yes, I'm full of vigor, and you and I are going to, I guess, continue on this year as we've done last
year. Yeah, you know what? We're heading into, I think we're in our fourth year now, is that right?
I think, well, yeah, that's our third new year.
Third new year. Okay, well clearly, either we're doing something right or people just don't know how to message us to tell us to get out of here.
Or like the Nielsen ratings at CFMU are way out of whack.
Do they have Nielsen's CRTC? Is that the same thing? I don't know. All right. Well, anyway, let's get the ball rolling here.
I meant the ball rolling.
Yeah, sure.
And what do we start with?
Well, now we're going to have New This Week. And,
yes,
of course, New This Week is brought to you by Duff Beer. Are you tired of all those fancy imported great tasting brands of beer? Then try Duff today. Oh, I almost forgot to get 24 cans for the price of 12 for a limited time only at the beer store.
Oh. You know, I love that Duff has a sponsor. Like, as a sponsor,
yes.
I love
Duff. Good.
But what I got to work with the guys, because I wouldn't in an ad for my beer say, are you tired of those great tasting other brands?
Right, yeah. Right, yes.
See,
yeah.
They need a little bit of work.
I agree.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
All right, Chris, takes us into our first part of the show, which
and that is
new
this week.
And I've seen the little treasure trove that you've, pulled out for us.
That's right. That's right.
First of all, you have from Image, you have Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips, Fatale.
You know, I pulled that for two reasons. One, because it's a great book. Two, because I was really hoping that you were going to call it Fat Tail.
Fat Tail.
Tell it Fatale.
Yeah. Oh, that was the video I found on your computer yesterday. I think you had that one open. You
know. Anyway, this is the latest gritty crime noir by Sean Phillips and Ed Brubaker, and as always, it's a great read. You know, this is from the same guys that did Criminal. Pardon
yeah,
me.
Criminal. A whole bunch of Criminal.
A whole bunch
right?
of other crime noir graphic novels.
Now,
really
I'm noticing. I'm noticing he's taken this a new, I guess, franchise or whatever it is, and he's taken it over to Image.
Yes.
As opposed to Criminal being with Marvel.
That's right.
And stuff
yeah.
like that. So, Chris, you know better than I do the whole concept of Image. Is Image still the place to go if you're kind of a creator owner?
Kind of stuff? Yeah,
stuff? So it's basically, still... he's had another idea, and he said, "Hey, rather than give this to Marvel. Yeah. I'm going to take this little project.
Well, you know what? Who knows? Maybe he's in the talks for movie rights or TV deals. You know, The Walking Dead did great. So who knows what his criminal and crime noir stuff is going to do. So maybe he's worried that, you know, hey, if Marvel still has their hands on it, maybe there might be lawsuits and that kind of thing. He figures, you know, with Image, he's all on his own. I mean, heck, he wouldn't have any problems there whatsoever.
Right. All right. So that's Fatal.
Yes.
Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips at your local comic book shop today, number one.
Right.
All right. DC, you've pulled for us Batman Detective Comics number 5.
Yes. And, I was looking at this and it just looked like a really great comic, actually. I shouldn't say actually. I'm not really a big fan of all the new DC New 52, but right. This one actually looked like a lot of fun. There's a big Joker thing going on, and Penguin, it looks like Batman is having a big kind of warfare with Penguin right now, but at the same time there's all these cool Joker goons in it, and it just looks really like a fun type of comic,
right.
So I had to mention it.
I read somewhere yesterday or something that I think Detective is still over 100,000 on this print run.
Right.
So, which is good that the demand is obviously you're not going to sustain those number one levels, right?
No.
Number one comes out, here's the problem with people.
What's the problem?
Okay.
What's the problem?
So, you're a comic guy. You know that there's no, those days in the 80s when you're buying 50 copies.
Oh, those are long gone.
Those are long gone, but people still can't help themselves.
Like I know.
When Detective One came.
If a new one, number one comes out.
They'll buy 3 copies. Yeah. Maybe not 50 anymore, but they'll buy 3. They only need one.
Remember that with Spider-Man, the Todd McFarlane Spider-Man?
Right.
One, people were buying like 50, 100 copies of it.
Even Spawn. X-Men. They were buying, never mind with that X-Men. They were buying like 10 of each cover, and there was like 72 covers.
Well, and then I think, wasn't the X-Men number one? That sold for like something like 7 million copies.
Mm-hmm. It was crazy. I know. All right. So Chris recommends Batman Detective Comics.
Absolutely.
Number 5, hitting your local comic book shop today. Check that one out. Over on the Marvel side, Chris, you've picked Hulk.
Hulk, yeah. I thought this was really cool because it looked like more of a – so, of course, they've got the Red Hulk and Red She-Hulk now, and it looked like this was more of a Red She-Hulk storyline going on. And I thought that was just kind of interesting because they've got you don't really see a whole lot of Red She-Hulk stories out there. And so I just thought it was kind of neat to –
You know what there's not enough of in comics?
Red She-Hulk.
Red She-Hulk
There really
stories.
Isn't. But you know what? This issue helps to get rid of that problem.
Oh,
it's true.
Good.
It's got, now for those of you who aren't aware, the Red She-Hulk is actually Betty Ross, who was Thunderbolt Ross's daughter, who Thunderbolt Ross was the main enemy of, Bruce Banner, who
was
the Hulk.
Bruce Banner's girlfriend.
Main love-in, yes, that's right. Yeah. So it's kind of cool that she's the Red She-Hulk, and it's just a neat little storyline.
Excellent. Okay. So, Hulk number 47. At your local comic book shop today.
Yes.
And it leaves us with, I guess this would be our...
our kids' pick of the week.
Kids' pick of the week, which, Chris, I mean, you have picked it correctly this week. A couple weeks ago.
This week.
It was suspect, but you've picked Peanuts number 1 from Kaboom.
Yeah, I thought this was really cool. Now, of course, we had the promo. We talked about the promo of this a couple weeks ago and how, basically... Kaboom is sort of, I don't want to call it refranchising, but coming out with another sort of take on Peanuts. It's all the same Peanuts characters and all the same, kind of, I don't want to say storylines, but it's the same type of storylines going on. But it's now done by other comic creators. So I thought this was really neat how, it's not Charles Schulz doing it, but it's other fans and other artists doing their own take on the Peanuts characters.
Right.
But it's still done in the style of the Peanuts. So it's not like you're going to see, some sort of weird style by, some odd artist out there. It's all sort of done in the same sort of style.
Right. Here's a great page. How to Draw Charlie Brown, demonstrated by Lucy Van Pelt.
Oh, I like it. That sounds awesome. Yeah. So it's a lot of that kind of stuff. I thought it was really neat.
Okay. So please head into your local comic book shop today, this week, and check out all the new this week's. There are actually a ton of them today.
Right. Yes, there are. Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's end that there, and we will have a little bit of a musical interlude now. And this is the Mary Marvel Marching Society. If you remember that from years ago.
And a little greater, walk a little prouder, be an innovator, laugh a little louder, go forever greater. We can show you how to. When will you be? You belong to the Mary Marvel Marching Society. March along to the song of the Mary Marvel Marching Society.
be. If you growl, if you groan, with the dour sour of the gift, if you howl, if you moan, you can lose your sour crust. So keep me trim and in step with the vim and the step of the Mary Marble Marching Society.
Be an early riser.
Strive to be ambitious.
Speak a little wiser.
Try to be judicious.
Be a good advisor.
Never ever vicious.
And where will you be then?
Face front! Lift your head! You're on the winning team!
Yes, Chris, that makes me feel patriotic, you know, in some way. I don't know how.
Well, you know, I actually cut that off early. That goes on for another 35 minutes.
Wow. That means that's there's such thing as too much patriotism, and I think that's it. Hey, Chris,
yes.
great segue into
the
comic culture mailbag.
Right, and yeah. Yes, it is the comic culture mailbag. Do we have a sponsor for them?
We do. We do. Comic culture mailbag is brought to you by Archie Comics. Mistreating women since 1941.
Oh, really? Does Archie actually do that?
No, I don't know. You know, I do have some trivia for you.
Okay,
some
here
Archie
we go.
Trivia.
Yeah.
Now, Archie, canon's not the right word.
Canon?
The dynamics.
Sure, okay.
That makes Archie work, that has made Archie work from, you know, whenever, is the love triangle, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
yes.
The Betty, Veronica, Archie, who gets
yep.
him, you know,
yeah, let's
who's
not
he
forget
pick.
Jughead there.
Well, okay. The Archie, Betty, Veronica triangle. You know, that didn't start right away. The first comic book that had Archie kind of making a double date.
Oh, yeah.
And then getting into trouble because he had to kind of manage both dates
right,
and both girls was in Archie Comics number 7. So there were a whole bunch of Pep comic issues and
before,
the early Archie issues that didn't have that kind of play, obviously.
Because Archie started in Pep.
Yeah, Pep
right?
Yeah, Pep number 22. Not that that means anything to anybody. But yeah, he started in a comic called Pep, which was a superhero comic with the Shield and the Hangman,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And then he kind of was a back character story, but that it really took off. And then they gave him his own title, and he still ran through Pep. But it was a dozen or two issues before they established kind of that – Archie,
the dynamic
of the love triangle.
Interesting. Well, you know, and clearly that's what's had the comic going for so long now, right? Like, really, that is the main thing that people love about that comic is the
absolutely.
Dynamic.
Absolutely. And that's what's stood the test of time. All right, Chris.
All right.
Let me read the mailbag for you because it's a question directed at you. This is from Heather in Moose Jaw.
Oh, hello, Heather.
That's in Saskatchewan. Heather says, "Dear Chris, what do you think of Steve McNiven barely being able to finish 5 issues of Captain America?
Well...
And are you excited about Alan Davis coming on board?"
Okay, so one question, 2 parts. So the answer to the first part is Steve McNiven. You know, I love the guy's artwork, but you know, the guy can be dreadfully slow sometimes. You know, I understand he's a fantastic artist. So you know, the fact that he was able to finish the 5, I'm really happy about. But I do have to say that Alan Davis is one of my favorite artists of all time, and I'm really excited of him coming with him coming on board. You know, he's done some really great work, and one of the few, one of his little miniseries there came out a long time ago was one called The Nail, and I actually loved this miniseries.
Justice League.
It was called Justice League: The Nail, and basically the story was. It was sort of like this what if kind of story where what would happen if there was a nail in the road and as Ma and Pa Kent were on their way home and where they eventually found, you know, young Clark Kent, what if there's a nail in the road and they got a flat? And it was sort of like what happened beyond that, like why all the circumstances, because they never had a chance to raise him. They
right.
didn't know what I mean. So
I understand.
It was all these different kind of things that happened.
Yes.
It was a really great story, and it was I really, really loved that story. But
wow.
Anyways, I digress. But
yes.
Alan Davis was the artist on that one, and really great work. So
right.
Yes, I'm extremely happy that he's coming on board.
All right, good. And McNiven just can't get it done.
No, you know what? You know what I think Steve McNiven's resolution should be for this year is I think he should like maybe try to get, you know, maybe 4 or 5 books done in addition to what he's actually doing.
In the whole year?
In the whole year. That'd be great. Wow. That's what his New Year's resolution should be because we all need a
resolution?
New Year's resolution. That's what we all need a New Year's resolution.
What's your – speaking of resolutions, I didn't even ask at the beginning of the show. Young man, is your New Year's resolution?
Well, you know –
enunciate better maybe?
I think I'm going to take some English classes.
Yes.
Maybe our good friend from across the pond can teach me how to enunciate properly.
I say...
Oh, good old Denny Champion.
I say Denny.
Yes.
Denny boy. No, that's Irishman. They say that. Never mind, Dan. We'll get to you.
Now, Walt, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
New Year's resolutions, yes. I want to be a better person.
Oh, how could you? Right. How could you possibly be a better person?
Yeah, I understand. I know, Chris. You know, though, you know, like, while we're on the topic.
Sure.
I jumped onto Twitter.
Oh, okay.
And believe it or not, there are tons of resolutions, guys tweeting their resolutions.
Oh, well, I believe that. Yeah.
I filtered out the superheroes.
Well, you know what they say? They say if you put it on, if you put it out there, then you're more likely to keep your resolution. So sorry, you said you filtered out the superheroes.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of superheroes tweeted their resolutions.
Oh, okay. Wow, okay.
Yeah, so I quickly cut and pasted a couple of them.
Oh, so what are they? What were they
saying?
Well,
Pinocchio.
I didn't realize Pinocchio was a hero.
No, yeah. No, well, comic book characters, okay, right, or whatever.
Sure,
Pinocchio had a comic book.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's true. He did.
His resolution was to lie more on dates. I have no idea what that means.
No, you know. Well, you know, he's probably very shy. You know, he doesn't really know what to say.
Right, because, and if he tells the truth, nobody'd be interested.
That's right, yeah.
Right. Wonder Woman. Her resolution, update my wardrobe.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. That's a really good idea.
But doesn't she do that every week?
She does that all the time. Yeah. Though, you know what?
Good resolution.
Whether it's white jumpsuits or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Wolverine's resolution. Check this out. He goes, Wolverine's resolution, to pamper myself. Get a manicure. Maybe some waxing.
That's a great idea because, really, he is a pretty hairy guy.
Yeah, he really is. And that's nice.
I thought you were going to say sharpen his claws or
Well, I think that's what the manicure part
Oh, yeah,
was.
Right. Okay.
So
yeah,
the joke doesn't work if you don't get it, Chris.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Is this thing on? Hello?
Hello? Yeah. Ghost Rider had a great one. I love Ghost Riders. Stop being such a hothead.
He's got a million of them.
I got a million of them. Oh, you know what? Catwoman.
Oh, Catwoman.
Her resolution was to take more rides on the Batrod.
The Batmobile.
No. The Batman has a hot rod.
Oh,
he calls
like
it the Batrod.
Right, yeah.
What'd you think?
Chris,
get it out of the gutter, please.
Sorry. Yeah.
Tweety.
Tweety, as in Tweety Bird?
Tweety Bird. It had a Twitter.
Tweety had a Twitter?
Yeah, Tweety had a Twitter. Tweety's Twitter was, her resolution was to stay away from putty.
Tweety's had a Twitter on to stay away from putty twat?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that's good.
All right.
Sorry, I was just laughing about this. Tweety had a Twitter.
No, that's okay. Yeah. He says, that putty is nothing but twubble.
So Tweety's on Twitter is talking about twubble.
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
Well, listen. I don't make this stuff up.
No,
I just cut and paste.
Okay.
All right? Give me a break.
Okay.
All right. Aquaman.
Yeah.
Great resolution. Shore up my finances.
Oh, that's a good one. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Apparently, Aquaman didn't know that this was a comedy bit when he...
Probably not.
And Popeye. Popeye's Twitter was to fight less with Bluto and eat more spinach and olive oil.
Oh. I think you meant with olive oil.
I mean, eat more spinach with olive
oil.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool, though. Those are just some of the – there's a ton of them out.
Right,
just,
yes.
Just Google superhero resolutions.
That's great. Good idea.
So,
yeah, it's a good idea.
So – We'll leave that one there.
That's good.
Well, all right. Where are we going now?
I wish all the superheroes luck on their resolutions because it's hard to keep a resolution.
It is hard to keep a resolution. Yeah. All right, Chris. Are we going right into industry news or are we segueing with music?
No segue. But before we get into industry news, I think we should do a quick recap on what we did, what 2011 was all about in the world of comics.
Oh, Chris, this is great. This is like coming back to school.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like what we did on our holiday.
That's right. So,
okay.
I think one of the things we can talk about is, first of all, the Montreal Comic Convention and how well it did this last year.
That was definitely a highlight for 2011, especially in the Canadian comic book scene.
Yeah.
The Montreal Comic Con broke out, definitely, in large part to Stan Lee being the headlining guest.
Of course,
but, Oscar, as the promoter, and everybody in Quebec did a tremendous job on promoting that.
Yeah. No, that's great.
And that was definitely a highlight for 2011.
Now, do you remember, I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but do you remember the numbers that they had for people coming in?
I didn't. I know I was there, and I knew that the numbers could.
Wasn't it like 40,000 or something?
No, there could have been, but what happened is they're used to getting... they're used to getting 4,000 or 5,000.
Right.
Last year was 8.
Right.
They were excited. They had a venue that fit 15.
Right.
And they turned more than half the people away.
Oh, that's what it was.
Because they basically, in their wildest dreams, they thought if they doubled their attendance,
yeah,
they would be at capacity.
Right.
But,
right,
you know, they ended up fivefolding their attendance.
Yeah. Well,
and they couldn't. People
power
had to go
of Stan Lee, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So, I mean, listen, the Montreal Comic Con goes every September, and we hope them, we
yep,
wish them
I will
success.
Be there next year for sure.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. All right. Sailor Moon came back in 2011. Chris, that was cool.
Yep. Yeah.
Huge. One of the early manga properties that really, anime properties that really caught
sure
hold in
yep
North America.
Absolutely. Yeah.
She's been out of print for what, a decade?
Yeah, and now it's back.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I might be wrong, but I believe that was like the best selling manga.
Yep.
Issue,
you know, if
of
you still talk to people about anime and manga, you ask them what they got interested in first. A lot of people will say Sailor Moon.
Right.
Sailor Moon, Pokemon, that kind of thing. It's mm-hmm a huge fan following. Even, I mean, I'm a little older, you know, not as old as you, but, you know, but even
thanks,
when
Chris.
I was younger, Sailor Moon was really popular, and they had all kinds of dolls and figurines and comics and all that kind of stuff, right? So it was a big thing when I was a kid.
Yeah. When I was younger, Gomer Pyle was popular.
Golly!
All right. What else was a big hit last year?
DC's New 52.
How could I forget that?
Yes.
That was
so
huge.
That's probably the biggest. It has to
that's
be
the biggest,
the biggest
right?
story of the year.
Biggest
right?
comic book
yeah,
story
I
of
mean,
the year.
The revamping the entire DC universe and obviously doing very well at it. You know, I think, as people have said, the numbers still aren't really out yet as to how many people are actually buying the individual as an individual buyer, not necessarily the store. But, you know, I think it still overall did very well.
Right. And it's helped the industry for sure.
Yeah.
You know what? As good as that was, probably the best thing of the year, I'm just going to throw it out there and say that Frank Miller's Holy Terror was the bomb of the year.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was terrible. Just
yeah
terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it started out to be some sort of weird Batman versus Osama bin Laden type
right
thing.
And 8 years ago,
yeah,
fresh off of 9/11.
Exactly. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, maybe if he actually, you know, did a comic more than once every 5 years.
Yeah.
Then, you know,
maybe if he actually did a good comic, even
well, yeah,
once
yeah
every 10,
that's
it would be
right,
okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if he'll be on the show.
Right. Hey, going back again for 2011, Free Comic Book Day, the 10th anniversary edition.
Yeah, that's great.
Was the yeah best Free Comic yeah Book Day for definitely our shop, but we also talked to other and we saw forums.
Well, and
it was for 90% of the shops yeah the best Free Comic Book Day to date.
And now with the Avengers movie coming out, it's in May as well. It's going to be another big one coming up.
Right. So if people are heading into their local comic book shop today, because it is Wednesday, and ask the people behind the counter, ask them, hey, what's the plans for my local comic book shop for Free Comic Book Day? Avengers is coming out. There's going to be tons of publicity. It's going to be a great event. And comic
and
shops
you know
have to take
yeah
ownership
was,
of this.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, if you happen to be a comic book shop owner mm-hmm and you're listening to our show, you know, think about what you want to do for the event now. Like mm-hmm people sometimes they think, oh, it's so far away. And then all of a sudden it's a month in advance. And, oh, I should have had my advertising done 2 months ago. You know, start thinking about what you want to do for your employees and for your customers
yeah
and all that now.
Yeah. And be innovative with the way you market that kind of stuff. I know comic book shops can't go on TV and can't go on the radio and all that stuff costs money, but there are, you know, innovative ways to outreach into the community to let them know about what we do. We invite our local library, the Hamilton
right
Wentworth Library,
right,
we invite them to set up a booth
absolutely
at
yeah
Free Comic
sure
Book
why not
and
yep
let people know, hey, they have graphic novels in the library too, and
yep
if people bring their library cards, they get extra comic books.
Right, perfect, right? Sounds
but
great.
But in the meantime, so, sorry, as cause and effect type thing, as a pay, whatever you want to call it, the library lets us promote the event a few months in advance at the library.
Oh, perfect. That's
right
great. Yeah.
With posters, with little flyers
yeah, yeah, yeah
and stuff like that. So
those are small things that can be done in your local community, right? Like
absolutely
doesn't have to be a great big brouhaha on the internet or on TV with commercials and
yep
all that. You can just do
yep
it very small and very quietly.
Yep.
Pardon me, and still get the word out.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to, you know, a Leaf game, wear a huge
Free Comic Book Day shirt.
Free Comic Book Day shirt or something
all right
like that. All right. What else happened in 2011?
Okay,
that
so
was cool?
You know, movies. Let's just talk about very quickly the movies. Captain America did extremely well. Thor did extremely well. Green Lantern did okay, but man, Conan bombed.
Yeah,
Conan
just stunk. Eh?
He stunk up the place.
Oh,
you know,
man.
I think it was all out for
by Crom.
I think that movie lasted about, what, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, something
yeah
like that?
It was bad.
In and out in
it
about 2 seconds.
But hey, you know what? Conan is a tough guy.
He'll come back.
He'll come back.
Yeah, that's right.
Tough as red nails, Chris.
Hey, good one. I like that. That's good.
All right. You know what? The story, that I guess, you know, as much as 52, the new 52 is a big story last year.
Yeah.
The progression and I don't know if we'll discuss it really quickly, but the whole digital movement.
Right.
You know, the
right.
whole emphasis on comics going day to day and dates and comics going digital. I, as a shopkeep, didn't necessarily sense digital hurting our business.
It doesn't seem to
yet.
Be overtaking it, no.
But what, so that didn't happen this year.
No.
But what did happen this year is all the publishers kind of went all in.
Right,
because everybody was kind of on the fence on digital, delaying it by a week, you know, this, that, here, and the other thing. But this year it really seemed like everybody was like, okay, digital is the format that's going to be the one going forward. We're all buying in. Now, the fact that they're all buying in and they're all pushing little incentives, like putting a code in a bag, Ultimate Spider-Man and stuff.
It's helping.
It means that they're foreseeing digital as a format growing.
Yes.
The digital format actually wasn't strong, but the publisher's commitment to it was super strong this year.
Which is good.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. What else we had this year? What happened?
Very quickly, let's go over a couple more things here. Success on TV in comic books. We had Walking Dead.
Yeah, that was still a big story.
Still a huge story. I mean, I think that was actually about a couple of, I mean, sort of,
well,
you know.
Season two
started last year.
It was bigger than season one.
Absolutely, yes.
And it transferred into huge, huge sales for comic shops that carried the graphic novels, that carried the monthly books.
Yep.
Toy lines came out. T-shirts came out.
Yeah.
It was good.
Board games and all that.
Board games.
Everything's coming out. Yeah.
Yeah, it was good for comic shop business.
And you know what's also good for comic shop business is actually, believe it or not, Big Bang TV, the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, the Big Bang Theory,
It's, you know what? It's sort of putting comic books on the map on a whole different level out there.
Right.
It's exposing, I don't know if you want to call it comic book nerdery or just the love of
comic culture.
Comic culture, the love of comics and the love of all that kind of stuff into other people and kind of get an idea of what's how some people love that stuff.
See, Chris, our show, Comic Culture, way ahead of the
curve. Way ahead of the curve, absolutely.
You know,
yes.
We are the original Big Bang guys. Right.
Absolutely.
Right. I don't know if that's good or bad.
I don't know about that. That's why I didn't want to say anything.
Right.
All right. You know what? Let's have some musical interlude here, and I've got a special treat for you here today. This is the G.I. Joe rocker version. It's called. Here you go. Hold on. Wait for it.
Hold on.
When it comes down to the wire, you got to play rough when you cross that line of fire. You got to have guts, stand for your rights. You got to keep a grip on it, to hold on tight. You got to do the fighting with all of your might. You got to keep the target straight ahead on your side. Got to get tough, yo, Joe. Got to get tough. Go, Joe!
G.I. Joe, America's top secret mobile strike force team.
Go, Joe!
The mission? To defend freedom.
Go, Joe!
The threat? Cobra, an evil organization bent on world conquest.
Go, Joe!
The battle cry?
Go, Joe! Got to get tough! Go, Joe! Got to get tough! Go, Joe!
Oh, well, a little cut off on the end there. Sorry about that.
Wow, that is now officially my worst song you've ever played. He's by far. That was terrible.
Oh, come on. You loved it.
In a good way.
Yeah.
All right. All apologies to Ed Campbell, who's probably listening to the show. Ed, come on. Even you'll have to admit that that wasn't that good.
It's not that good.
All right. Chris, let's go to back to we have a reoccurring segment on the show called Trailer Trash.
Yes. Trailer Trash is a little bit of how we talk about, you know, because we made this discovery we had this epiphany about how, you know, on the internet, when they release various bits and bobs about movies, about how it turns out to be these huge ordeals, right?
Like big news. Yes.
And well, I guess you could say that one of these items was actually a bit of big news because the Dark Knight Rises trailer actually broke an internet record.
Wow!
Right? It was the trailer when it first came out. It had, over the first 24 hours, it was viewed over 12.5 million times.
On the iTunes movie trailer.
Yeah.
So probably on other sites even more.
Right, and well, and the thing is, it was, and this was the previous record was for the Avengers trailer, which was only 2 million times. So 12.5 million compared to 2 million is like that's
no. Oh, you're reading that wrong. Oh. I'm breaking the previous record held by Avengers by over 2 million. So
Avengers
was over 10 million.
It was over 10 million. Yeah. Sorry, okay.
But that's still crazy. You're right. So 12.5 million times. So what that tells me, though, this is good in a way because I guess this is news. I guess we can actually talk about this rather than make fun of it, right?
Okay.
Is that there is some massive anticipation toward this new
absolutely
movie,
yes, absolutely right? Yes, for sure.
Now, though you're more of a Bat fan than I am.
Okay.
Bane versus, say, the Joker.
Yeah, you know what? I'm still a little leery about Bane, but you know what? I got to say that Christopher Nolan has not done us wrong so far. I mean, you know, when I first heard that, you know, in the first movie that it wasn't really, it was going to be kind of a Ra's al Ghul was the main villain, you know, I was kind of shocked about that because really he's not a very big name. I mean, right. He's a big name in comics, but he's not a big name in comic culture.
Right.
Right. Like, I mean, he was never on the 60s TV show. Mm-hmm. He was, yeah. You know, he's only appeared a couple times in the animated series. Like, he's not really that big of a name in the rest of the world. You know, then of course we had the Joker in the second movie, and of course I guess we had the Scarecrow in the first movie as well. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I'm gonna say, you know, Christopher Nolan, as I said before, he has not done us wrong so far. So I'm gonna say he's gonna do okay with this movie.
You know what though? In a way, you're right there because what I have first, I'll put a disclaimer in. I have no idea what I'm talking about. So that's very important that I say before I talk about this.
But, sure. Okay. Yeah.
I'll almost compare Bane to, let's say, Venom.
Okay.
Because these guys are of the newer generation. This is going back to people that are now in their 30s.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like, this is the younger crowd's main villain.
This is a
Joker's your granddad's Batman.
Right,
villain,
right.
You know?
Bane
is your Batman villain. When
I
you
agree.
Were a kid, you read the broken, whatever the heck it was called, that whole Nightfall.
Yes.
You know?
Broken
that
back,
was,
yeah.
Yeah, that's what you read.
Yeah.
Right? You kind of, you know, Cesar Romero.
Absolutely,
and all that Jerry
that's
Robinson.
All old. It all came out well before. Or, you know, I was alive even, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I can understand what you're saying because, you know what, but even for a guy like myself, like, you know, Venom, I still consider him to be sort of a relatively new character, but he's not. He's been around for
20
years.
Well,
late
80s.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, though. Late 80s. He's not the...
That's 20 years.
He's not the rogues gallery of classic villains.
Still 20 years, though.
But so is Bane.
But okay, that's what I'm
saying.
He came out in the same sort of era of comics where...
Okay, but the main target for the movie... would be guys in their 30s and lower.
Yes,
is
I agree.
What I'm saying.
Yes.
And these are the guys that read Bane when it came out.
Right, I'm agreeing with you.
So in that sense, maybe Bane is the right way to go,
I'm and let's not forget that it's Bane and Catwoman is in the movie as well.
Oh,
so.
Chris, there's going to be some sex.
Well, we don't know that.
Is it rated R?
No.
X?
What? No, this is Batman.
Well, yeah, Catwoman. Hello.
I'm sure. You know what? I'm sure there's lots of internet sites. If you really want to see that kind of stuff, you can find
it. Right. All right, Chris. Let's move on. Speaking of sex, Chris, Marvel is back on top.
I don't know what that has to do with sex, but anyways, yeah.
Well, never mind.
I got it. I was trying to defer it.
Okay. Marvel in what was the month in November, in December? They retook. We all knew it was coming.
Right.
They retook the crown for market share and for dollar share.
Yeah. Well, and we knew this was coming because really DC had the big push with the new 52.
Right.
But we knew eventually Marvel was going to kind of come back again.
Yeah. It's not that they ever went away. I think their sales were consistent, but DC's were...
Rose.
They were unsustainable, I guess is my point. And so DC... Marvel's, though, share isn't exactly as dominant as it was before.
No. It's as far as share, it's actually... pretty close, less than a full percent above DC's share.
Yeah, they both right now in December anyway controlled about a third of the comic market.
Right.
And dollar wise, Marvel, because Marvel's prices on most of them are $3.99, way more than DC. DC
That's
has
right.
most of them at $2.99.
Yeah.
The dollar share, Marvel's at close to 40, just under 40. And DC is around almost 38.
Yeah,
so
but
just
the,
a little bit
the,
of a wider
the retail
gap.
Market share is much closer.
Yeah, and I don't know, but what I hope this is what I hope when I watch this, when I see this, I like Marvel and DC each controlling a third.
Yes,
I don't want those two guys controlling 90%
no,
of the market.
No, I agree.
This leaves a third of the market to the other players that they can crawl and get good, you know, like IDWs and your dark horses and your images and stuff like
that. Well, and you know what? This actually, I'm a little bit surprised about the numbers here. Although I guess once I think about it, I shouldn't be, because we've got image is at like, you know, 6.75%, and
which is high,
and IDW though is the next highest, above Dark Horse. Now Dark Horse has been around for forever.
Yeah, but you see, sometimes Dark Horse is the problem with the small guys is it's so dependent on what they actually publish that month.
Like, right.
Because sometimes there's no Hellboy that month for Dark Horse.
Right.
Sometimes there's no Conan, or because the miniseries ended and another one didn't start. And so they're skewed in a way depending on what they're pushing.
Yep.
Right? There isn't as much consistency in product line with the smaller guys there is.
But I got to say that IDW, having, you know, all those great marketed licensed comics, I think that really put them over the edge.
Yeah.
When you got, you know, G.I. Joe and Ghostbusters and, I can't even think of all of them now. Godzilla. Yeah, there's all kinds of
Godzilla.
Ones out there.
Godzilla. You know, hey, yeah, and you're right. And what I also like, too, is that Marvel and DC are close.
Yes.
You know, okay, one of them has to be winning. But,
yep.
But
well,
what we don't want is to be... you know, DC to be kind of the... You want DC to give Marvel a run. Keep
Absolutely.
Them both honest.
Yep.
Keep both the big boys kind of jockeying for position.
For sure.
Being innovative in their product lines.
Yep. As it should be.
Yeah.
I agree.
You know, that, though, is if they were kind of astute, savvy executives.
Yes.
And what we don't want for Marvel, and I know the Marvel guys listen to the show, what we don't want is say, hey, we need more market share. Let's just do number ones again.
Yeah. Although I wouldn't be surprised if they did that.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be surprising at all. All right. Yeah. Well, let's keep on going here.
What are we going to do next?
So let's talk about what's happening in the world of comics for this coming year.
The movies.
Well, the movies.
Oh, no,
and
the comics.
The comics.
Right. Yeah. 2012. Look
so,
ahead. I'm sorry.
We've got, a couple big looks ahead. We've got Avengers versus the X-Men is coming.
That's going to be a big story.
It's going to be huge. I mean, we've got... all the great characters like Juggernaut, Red Hulk, Namor, Emma Frost, Hope. There's all kinds of great characters are going to be involved there. I think it's going to be a big seller.
Okay. So how does it not, right? So you have the Marvel, which is the biggest comic publisher. You have their, you know, two largest, I guess, franchises. You know, I guess Spider-Man on his own is a franchise.
Absolutely,
too,
yeah, for
Spider-Man
sure.
Spider-Man is in Avengers.
Yes.
Right? So you have Avengers and you have X-Men.
Yep. You've got Avengers with Spider-Man and X-Men with Wolverine, basically, right?
Now, let me ask you a question. You were in the comic retail business back in the day where X-Men ruled the universe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, everything was X-Men.
Yeah.
X-Force, X-Factor, X-Men.
Seven different titles.
Yeah, and they all were, like, the top seven.
Yeah, absolutely, yes, yes.
Now, my sense of that time was there were just X-fans.
There were a lot of people that would only buy X-titles, right?
Right.
Because there was also enough X-titles to buy at that time. And they're all... It wasn't like today where there was a bazillion miniseries coming out that sort of weave in and out of the X titles.
Yeah.
It was sort of like, you know, you'd have your core five or six titles, and they would all – those would weave in and of themselves. But it was sort of – you didn't have to worry about other miniseries coming in and out.
Well, that was my question, is like, is today's X-Men universe also kind of – secular and secluded in terms of the fan base?
I think so.
So is Marvel trying to say to the X-fans, saying, hey, guys, we got other products too.
Yep.
Let's mix Avengers and X-Men in a huge story arc and maybe get all those diehard X-fans that have been around for, 30-some-odd years?
For sure, yeah.
And say, you know, let's take that whole X-universe and really get the big cauldron going, mix it
absolutely.
Up with the big mixer, and get those X-fans kind of interested in the Luke Cages and the Nick Furies and the Spider-Mans and the Hulks of the world, which traditionally they really didn't even have to venture into.
No, that's right. That's right. Absolutely. You know, I was just reading a bit of the promo here, Walt. I'm not trying to change topics here. But
go ahead.
It says here that Marvel is also
marvelous.
Pulling out all the stops, and local comic book shops can enroll as either an Avengers store or an X-Men store to help promote the event.
Yeah,
kind
I don't know
like
what,
that.
I don't know what that's all about.
Well, it sounds like you can probably get more posters devoted towards either the X-Men or the Avengers or like promotional material, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I think that's pretty cool, because then if there's more than one comic book shop in your city, then it'd be like kind
you
of
like a fight.
Like a fight, yeah.
That'd be so cool.
You can have like a rumble.
Right.
You'd be like
a comic shop rumble.
When you're an X-Men, you're an X-Men.
Yes. Yeah. When you're an Avenger, you're an Avenger.
That's right. All right. Let's keep on going here.
Let's keep on going. Everybody's looking forward to this year, Chris. Everybody's talked about, there's people talking about it at the shop, is the saga. The Brian K. Vaughan new book. Here's a guy that his last two big projects are just critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
Massive kind of cult following fan base.
And let's not forget that Brian K. Vaughan also did a lot of the writing for this TV series Lost.
Yes, he did.
So you know what? Here's a guy that knows how to write.
Yeah, and this saga thing is he also obviously did Why the Last Man.
Yep.
He did Ex Machina, I guess it is called. So this new kind of project from Brian K. Vaughan, saga, is definitely something to watch in 2012.
Absolutely. And okay, so hold on. So now we were talking earlier about Spider-Man being its own franchise.
Yeah.
And basically, that's another big thing that's happening this year in comics, is the return of the Sinister Six.
Whoa.
Now we've got Dan Slott, who's been, kind of coming up with these amazing Spider-Man stories.
I love Dan Slott's stories.
He's such a great, great writer.
Spider-Man especially.
Because you know what? Spider-Man
makes him a goof. Spidey as a goof is the best Spidey.
Absolutely.
And I like the way he makes him a goof.
Dan Slott has this ability to be quirky and also honor all the old storylines of the past without making them too goofy or too comic booky. Like, he's a great, great, quirky little writer, and he's perfect for Spider-Man.
Yeah, listen, Dan, what you don't want to make a comic book is too comic booky.
Well, you know what I mean, Dan? Oh, here we go.
All right.
Anyways, Doc Ock is slowly dying, and he's going to hold Earth hostage as part of his last plan against Spidey.
Wow.
And so basically, he's going to have this huge Sinister Six story arc.
You know, all I got to say, Bitterman. He is a bitter man.
All right.
You know what we have? We have Watchmen 2. It's been talked about for a long time.
Yeah, this is crazy. This is now...
Which has never been sanctioned by Mr. Moore, I believe.
No. In fact, he still hates it.
Yep.
Now, we still don't know if this is when it's going to be... If it's going to be a prequel or a sequel to the original Watchmen. Obviously, Alan Moore wants nothing to do with it. I don't remember if Dave Gibbons has given his blessing towards it or not. Sorry, not Dave Gibbons.
Watchmen.
Dave Gibbons.
Yeah, Dave Gibbons.
Sorry, I was thinking of somebody else. Anyways, we don't know. I honestly don't remember if I've seen if he's given his blessing to that or not. But will it come out? We'll see. I don't know. It's sort of one of those things that we've heard about it for a long time. Not too sure if it's actually going to come out or not.
All right. People are looking forward to, believe it or not, the whole infestation thing that happened over at, what was it, IDW, I think.
Yes, yeah. Yes, that's right, yeah.
Because that was pretty cool. Like, I read that first one, and it kind of, like, it was a cool premise, but that did well for IDW, the infestation crossovers and stuff. So they're continuing with an Infestation 2, and that's going to be a big event this year.
Well, apparently. So last year, the infestation thing, it kind of went over G.I. Joe, Transformers, Ghostbusters, and now this year it looks like it's going to take over, be involved with TMNT and Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
Which
Teenage
I don't know
how, Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I don't know how they're going to do that. But
that's the cool part about it, right? Yeah. They're doing different kind of, what does Dungeons and Dragons and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles have in common? You know what they have in common? Infestation.
Infestation, that's right. Right, exactly.
So that's going to be cool. We have, what the heck else we have this year? We have, the big Animal Man Swamp Thing crossover.
Yeah, this is cool because, Animal Man and Swamp Thing, by Jeff Lemire and Scott Snyder. These are two really great selling story DC titles out there right now. And I think they kind of fit in that old Vertigo kind of older, more adult kind of storylines. They're kind of the same. They're of the same ilk, I guess you could say. It should be great.
That's a good thing. We got Brian Michael Bendis doing the big... Ultron War.
Yeah, so he's going to end his run on the Avengers.
Yeah.
And so this is going to be something called either the Age of Ultron or the Ultron War or something like that. They're not too sure exactly.
Ultron was always a cool kind
awesome.
Of Avengers
for sure.
Villain, I guess is the way you say it. So these are great, great. We don't have time to
talk about everything,
but there's a lot. the industry is working really hard to produce a lot of cool, innovative products. You know, in 2012, and you know what? There's a lot to look forward to.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, well, let's take a quick break here and have our musical interlude here. And this is something a little different. I don't know if I've ever played this. This is the Super Street Fighter. Hold on, here you go.
So Street Fighter by the Flock of Seagulls. Great, great tune.
Fight! Oh, sorry. That was
What was that called?
Street Fighter.
No, what was the song called?
Super Street Fighter.
Super Street Fighter. That was incredible.
It's from a video game.
Yeah, that was incredibly good, Chris. Thank you.
I'm sure you liked it, yeah.
Chris, let's keep going with industry news.
All right.
It's our first show of the year. There's sweet too much to talk
Lots to talk about.
Yeah, we have to slow it down. Okay,
just slow right. The heck down.
Slow the heck down. We talked about Ghost Rider earlier with that great resolution he had.
Right, that's right. Just, not being such a hothead.
Such a hothead. Yeah. Well, Gary, is it Friedrich? Friedrich?
I always said Friedrich, but Friedrich? I don't know. I don't know if that's how you
He's
say it.
He's the guy that kind of created Ghost Rider back when Marvel Spotlight.
Back in the day.
He wasn't the first Ghost Rider. There
no.
was a Western Ghost Rider.
That's right. He rode a horse.
He rode a horse.
Yeah.
And Fredrickson, I think it was Marvel Spotlight.
Or Friedrich, whatever. Friedrich. Or whatever. Yeah.
Okay, correct me once and I'll just use it from then on. Oi, listen. Mr. Friedrich, he created Ghost Rider. And, you know, it's that whole classic Marvel thing. You know, the artist now, the Ghost Rider property's making money. The artist now goes to court saying, hey, you know, I should get a share of this.
Right, right.
Marvel saying, hey, you were a pen for hire.
Yep, back in the day.
Sorry, buddy, don't get nothing.
Yep.
Right? And a court has ruled that he indeed does not get nothing.
That's sad, unfortunately, because here is Marvel making all kinds of money on the Ghost Rider property, and he's not going to get a single cent out of that.
So what do you do there, though? So this is a prevalent thing now with all these properties coming on. What is the honorable thing for Marvel, DC to do? More so Marvel, maybe, because they came later and a lot of those guys are still around.
Yeah.
Does Marvel kind of make a side deal and say, hey,
you know,
buddy,
what?
You did us good.
Yeah.
Here's a check for $800.
I think there can be some sort of – yeah, really.
I think go buy yourself a case of beer, will you?
I think that there can be some sort of way of Marvel saying, although we're not saying that you own anything, we're admitting that you were a creator of the time and we already paid you at the time, but you know, we didn't know that it would make this much money, so we're going to give you X amount of dollars now.
We apologize for making so much money on your product.
Yeah,
I really
much,
didn't
yeah.
think of
we
that.
We really didn't think we would.
Yeah.
But why not give them, you know, $10,000 or something?
Yeah, or a
like bone, right?
Or something like that. Yeah. I mean, let's explore it a bit. Is there PR to be won by Marvel to announce that? I don't know. You know
for
what I'm
sure,
saying?
Like, for sure.
Are they looking like the mean Scrooge bad guys here?
Here's the thing.
Because the guy, obviously, the judge has ruled that he signed a legal contract giving everything away.
Yep.
So they don't owe him anything, obviously.
No, and here's the thing. If I was in Marvel's shoes, you know, do I do it out of the good nature of, you know, of my heart?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, are people really going to say, hey, you know what? Marvel gave that guy $10,000 or $1 million or whatever it is. Let's go out and buy more Marvel comics,
yeah,
right?
Marvel comics.
I can't speak today. I don't know what it is.
Marvel.
That reminds me of. Did you ever see the Saturday Night Live sketch where they had to sell marble columns? We got to get yourself some marble columns.
White marble, right? Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
I don't think that people are going to go out and buy more Marvel comics because they happen to give Gary Friedrich a bunch of cash.
Right. All right. Fair enough. All right. Listen, you know what was interesting is we talked about Tintin. We had high hopes for Tintin. You know, our producer, Anthony Falcone, apparently hates Tintin.
Oh, yeah,
he thinks
so
Tintin sucks. I think he had a blog on Comic Book Daily where he said, "I hate Tintin," well, which is direct and to the point.
I wonder what it's about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where he kind of said, you know, the old strips from the 40s, whatever, are
outdated,
kind of dry and stuff. Well, but anyway, some of them are pretty good. I've read them, and some, you know, like any other.
I think I've read
character,
one. Yeah.
Some of them are okay, and some of them are pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway. It's doing gangbusters across the world. The foreign gate on Tintin so far is like $260 million.
That's incredible.
But they've been around, like, it's opened about a month ago.
Whereas
domestically, I think it's just past the $50 million mark.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Tintin is not a huge thing here in North America,
but
right?
Yeah, I know. But the high hopes there was that it would make it a huge thing.
Well,
you know what I mean?
We'll see.
You know, I guess the silver lining, the good thing is, this past weekend, it was a $12 million weekend. Opening weekend was not even 10.
Yeah, so it seems to be gaining some steam.
Yeah, so right. I think Spielberg's sitting there and going, I think next weekend is going to be $15 million. let's make graphs.
Because he needs the money.
Right, yeah. Like that guy needs money.
Yeah.
All right, so I wish Tintin success. Well, I wish people
Here's a question for you. You're such a big Tintin fan. Have you seen it yet?
So anyway, Chris.
That's what I figured.
You know,
yeah.
I was in a Chapters. You know, Chapters is like the Starbucks. It's like the Grand.
Chapters is like a Starbucks.
No,
what?
It's like a bar. There's a Starbucks in Chapters.
There, right? Yes, there
but
is.
But it's like the Barnes and Noble in the States. And Danny Champ, can you tell me what the heck those English ones are called? I forget. I think they're called Tallyhos.
I'm pretty sure they're not.
All right, they're the big bookstore chain in England.
Virgin. They have Virgin bookstores.
Right.
There.
Oh, easy, Chris. Easy.
I'm just saying.
All right. Listen, my point was this. I went in on the weekend. And I live close to a Chapters, and I've been going in for years and years. You know, you have a coffee, you browse.
Browse
magazines. They got like 7 billion magazine titles, and you browse them. So first time I came in, and I just turned to the right, and boom.
Boom.
The Tintin Rocket.
Oh, nice.
The Tintin Rocket is a way to display Tintin albums, Tintin graphic novels that comic shops have. Our comic shop has had it for like 8 years.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And these sneaky skunks, they dig it out of the vault there for the movie.
Yep. So, well, I saw one at an Indigo as well.
Yeah.
I got to say.
So the Tintin Rocket, guys, is out in full force. Nice to see the rockets out there.
Yeah. Go see the movie, why don't
go
you?
Go see the movie.
I was talking to you.
Oh.
Sorry.
Yeah. All right. Oh, Chris, this is while we're talking, this show that we do.
Talking about speaking properly.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is about we champion local comic book shops.
Yes.
So my hope is that we help the Leibowitz family today with our show. And, of course, I'm talking about Golden Apple Comics out in California, out in Hollywood.
Right.
It opened in 1979. It was one of the first forerunners of the direct market shop.
Yeah, in 79 you really would be, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's a long time ago in comic book dumb.
And Bill Leibowitz was a true innovator. He was a true pioneer. He was kind of championed that whole community, going out and doing public outreach, carrying like related toy lines. He did all that kind of stuff.
Right.
He was doing it early. He was doing it right.
Yep.
You know, and he did really well. And it, you know, for a time it was like a super duper famous comic shop.
Oh yeah,
it is to this day.
It still is for sure. I mean, it's kind of like the Metropolis, you know, in New York,
the Silver Snail in Toronto. You know, like
it has a big fan following. You know, it's one of those things. If you're a comic book person and you're in that area, you got to go there, right?
You know that one. It's a staple. It's a landmark,
right?
And it's an important part, I would imagine, in the comic culture community of that
absolutely.
Of that area.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Now, Bill died in 2004, and the difficult part, and I guess you know, it's a double edged sword in a way. The good part about comic book shops is that they are such a reflection of the people that work it and nurture it and stuff like that. So you get some. It's not just like a Barnes and Noble or Chapters where they're all the same,
right?
Each comic book shop is different, and it conveys the thoughts and loves of the proprietors. Well, when he died, like not necessarily your family members carry on that same love and passion.
No, unfortunately, right? They don't.
So, yeah. You know, his wife carried it on for nobly and honorably for
7 years.
7 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Had a son, and he kind of quit what he was kind of pursuing
to
run the business.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I guess it's come to a time where they realize, hey, you know what? Our dad loved this.
Yeah, this isn't
sorry,
us.
My dad, my husband loved this.
Yeah,
but this isn't for us.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair
and
enough.
It's come to a point where they are selling their comic shop.
Right, right. And so now they're actually selling the comic book shop on eBay.
Yeah,
so
eBay.
This is crazy. So actually, it's recently being offered for the buy it now price of $679,000 or best offer.
Our best offer.
So, you know, I'm hoping that they do well with the shop.
I really
because
do.
Because it's been around for so long. I can't imagine a comic book shop selling for $700,000, but, you know, I guess it is possible. You know, I you know, the idea of selling a business on eBay is staggering to me.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's weird but fantastic at the same time.
But in a way, you know, what a perfect place to sell a comic shop on eBay.
Absolutely,
you know? It's a great forum. Because what it does is it gets people like you and I talking.
That's right.
It's going to raise the awareness and exposure that this business is for sale.
Well, and I guess, you know, the inventory alone for the shop is at over $300,000, right?
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, that's not surprising.
I would honestly put the value of that business, I would put the goodwill value of that business on an equal par with inventory.
I would agree with you.
Because inventory, you can go to liquidators and, you know, they got stuff.
You can
stuff
go anywhere and get the stuff, right?
But the amount of goodwill, the customer base, the landmark kind of place that he has developed over all those years is worth a considerable amount of money, because anybody opening up a comic shop or anywhere with zero customers, you know, I mean, it's
a tough go. It is a tough go, as you would know.
He has 3 decades, really, of customer loyalty and all that kind of stuff. We wish them well. I mean, it would be great if somebody did take over with the same love, same passion, you know, a little bit of a younger person.
Yep.
And I'm sure, honestly, if comic shops are run well and stuff, you know, something like $500,000 and stuff, it is a good investment.
And you know what? I was going to say, like, you know, like any business, if it's run well, it'll do well. Like, you can't get into a comic book shop and start, you know, start selling stuff just because you like comics, right?
Right.
You still have to run it like a business, like everything else. So as long as you treat it like a business and not like a, you know, a fan club, you'll do well.
Right.
So,
all right.
It looks like we're running out of time here, Walt.
Already.
I know.
Our first show of the year is
already done.
In the books.
In the books. Yes.
All right.
So I'm just looking for my paperwork.
Chris, you're supposed to say, well, that's all the time we have for today.
Oh, I found it. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Excellent. Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by Andrew Roebuck. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link and enter your comments in the comments field. We're also heard on getthepointradio.com.
And remember, pick an achievable New Year's resolution like reading more comics.
Yes, please support your local comic book shop.